the Juju Orchestra from deep in the heart of Germany. Yes, from Germany, with this number called This Is Not a Tango. It's from their album Bossa Nova Is Not a Crime, that was released in 2007. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrieve Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. If you are joining us for the first time, Free Your Mind Friday is we dispense with our regular format, and the program becomes a free-for-all, basically, for the expression of views and opinions that they've had, they've been carrying around for a long time and had no place to put them. This is the place to put them. You can sound off, but please make sure you have an opinion and be mindful that you don't have the full hour. You have only a small portion of it, so don't be too greedy and take up too much time. I like the idea of turning it over to listeners for them to express their points of view about things that we may not even have covered, but they need to be discussed out in the open because they will somehow become news at some point. The number is 888-874-4888 to express your view, your opinion. And again, make sure it is an opinion. We don't just want you yammering until I can't take it anymore and I say, okay, stop, stop, stop. We want you to use your time efficiently and to make your point, because people are listening. And sometimes another pair of ears could help you refine your opinion for another time as well. Okay, well, what's going on today in the U.S. of A.? In the U.S. of A., we have lots of things going on. There is this grand march in Washington, D.C., kind of revisiting the Great March in Washington that concerned at that time voting rights and human rights. Here it is in reaction to shootings by police, police violence, and it's actually titled Get Your Knee Off Our Necks, and that's a reference to the way that George Floyd was killed. So I don't know how it's going so far, but a large crowd is expected. The Reverend Al Sharpton is a key organizer of this march, and it is meant to make a point, especially now in the aftermath, or it's still in the environment of the political conferences that have just ended, that this would be fresh in people's minds. So I imagine it will go on for some time today, but that's the big march today, hoping to rekindle the spirit of the march and certainly the results of the march that King had led. Okay, 888-874-4888 is the number to call to express your views on any subject that you think is worth discussing and listening to. Of course, you will exercise appropriate discretion. We don't cuss around on this show. You know how we behave. We mind our diction and our mouths. But this is not in any way to suggest that you tame your ideas. Your ideas are worth hearing. but you also should make an effort to make your point. Now, why do we do this? And it may just sound like one of those pro forma things that radio stations sometimes do. But I want you to keep in mind that there is a purpose to this. And the purpose is to encourage people to utilize the medium well. There's a science to everything. And it is not just getting on the air and talking. That doesn't accomplish anything. You want to organize your thoughts. You want to have something handy, a pen and piece of paper or something, to jot down the most important points you want to communicate, that you have a direction where you're going. You're not just wandering in the meadow, that you have a topic in mind and that you stay as close to the topic as possible. Why are there rules to an opinion? Because we have to learn how to use the medium well. Chances are you will be one day called upon to make a presentation or something, express an opinion on a major subject, and you should know how to do that and whether you're doing it effectively. It's not just getting on the air and talking. Anybody could do that. But you will learn soon enough that the people you are listening to and you want to listen to are generally people who have a purpose in mind for what it is they say. They're directed. They're not leaving anything to chance. And that makes that person a very effective communicator. And it's a skill that all progressive people, all politically involved people, all community-minded people should learn to develop, so that at any time you have access to the airwaves, you make the best use of it. You're communicating your points, but you're also doing it within a certain time span, and you also are mindful of what the end game is. So that's why, as you talk on the air, you want to keep in mind a purpose. What is your purpose in speaking? And are you going to be accomplishing that purpose? Don't get all now uptight and scared, but it is to remind you this is not just, you get on the air. It's easy enough. You just dial a number and you're on the air. But once you get on the air, what happens? What are you doing with your time? And what are you doing with our interest in what you probably have to say? So make it work. Make it count. Again, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's hear what you have to say. What are you freeing your mind of today? I hope many of you are freeing your mind of substantive things that we didn't have a chance to get to in this way, but this is as good a way to get to it. 888-874-4888. Who's up first? Let's see. Harvey from Berkeley. I'm not seeing the listing here, but Harvey from Berkeley, hello. You're on the air.
Thank you, wonderful Utrice.
Hello, wonderful Harvey. What's going on?
Well, today I'd like to share a few thoughts about what I call the casualties of capitalism and why we need to economically upgrade our financial system so as to better protect and service and provide service for all Americans, especially people in the lower middle class and underprivileged communities. And in a August 18th, 2020 article titled Millions of U.S. Renters Face Eviction, it stated that according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which is a group that focuses on low-income housing policy across the U.S. that approximately 30 to 40 million Americans are in danger of being evicted from their homes because of the economic slowdown and massive job losses caused by the coronavirus shutdown. Many Americans have been receiving financial assistance through the supplemental federal assistance of $600 a week, which lapsed in July, putting millions of people in jeopardy of not being able to pay their rent, leaving a tremendous amount of working class and poor families facing insurmountable debt that has accumulated over the past few months of the COVID-19 lockdown. And with 40% of the nation's rental units owned by mom-and-pop landlords, many of them cannot absorb the losses from unpaid rent. And the U.S. renters owe more than $21 billion in back rent. But the Republicans are offering no eviction relief. And at the same time, Trump created a $2 trillion deficit by giving 83% of tax cuts to the top 1%. And I believe that one reason that the Republicans are lifting a moratorium on evictions are, number one, it turns out that most middle and low income people vote Democrat, but the voting registration process generally depends on having a permanent address. People's voting rights are being taken away from them at the same time that their homes are being taken away, said Claire Tran, an organizer with the Right to the City Alliance, a coalition of progressing housing advocacy groups. The second more nefarious reason, in my estimation, is that people who are desperate, economically desperate, will commit crime to pay for the rent and food and put food on the table. Police will then be used to harvest a lot of these COVID-19 felons and put them in prisons for profit. And the reason I've come to this conclusion is that in the midst of the pandemic, TD Bank, the Toronto Dominion Bank, increased its share in private prison giant GEO group by a whopping 8,000%. I'm sure that a lot of Republicans, like President Trump and his friends, hold stock in these prisons for profits, America's answer to third world labor. And so it's time to do the right thing and protect millions of middle class and underprivileged Americans from being the casualties of capitalism. And I want to thank you in particular, Utrice, for your leadership in the effort to right these wrongs.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Harvey. And it's a very poignant point that you make today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon, Bill.
I called in last Friday to give my prediction of what would happen with the election, why Trump would win again. And there was quite a bit of call-in following saying how ridiculous I was to try to stop people from voting for Joe Biden, which I didn't call in to stop people from calling or voting for Joe Biden. I was just telling, people what I see is going to happen. One caller actually said that I should just get drunk and go vote for Joe Biden, as if getting drunk and going and making the decision is somehow a positive thing. You get drunk and go vote for Joe Biden. I don't get
drunk. They didn't say that on this program, did they?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't hear that.
Check the archive. He said, I don't remember his name, but he said Bill should just get drunk and go vote for Joe Biden.
I thought
to myself at the time, should I also, after I get drunk, should I also drive to go vote for Joe Biden? would that be what you're advocating? And another caller said that I was just being silly to not vote for Joe Biden. And referenced that Trump had recently had some post office equipment destroyed and that no other president has ever destroyed property, and this was Hitler-like. And at the time, I thought to myself, no other president ever destroyed property. What about Truman, who dropped bombs on Japan and destroyed lives and property? What about Lincoln, who presided over the largest execution of Native Americans, largest execution in history? 39 Native Americans were hung on beloved Hitler, Abraham Lincoln's say-so. I know that Trump is a jerk, but, you know, if you're going to try to say that, you know, this guy's done the worst things that a president has ever done, that's just ridiculous. Our first president, George Washington, was a slave owner. He owned over 800 slaves, and he started trading slaves when he was 12 years old. He sold his first adult human being when he was 12 years old, and he became a great general by killing Native Americans. And one of the things he pioneered was the use of a bayonet to kill especially women and children so as to save bullets. That's one of his claims to fame, our first, you know, wonderful George Washington. So this whole idea that Trump is going to be the death of us all, I just don't buy into that. I mean, my people, black people, have survived hundreds of years of this country, and we certainly will survive 4 or 8 years of Donald Trump. And as far as me trying to dissuade people from voting for Joe Biden, if I wanted to do that, that is very easy to do by just talking about one of his statements. He said, and this is when he was more coherent years ago, he said, and I quote, about Barack Obama, "He is the first mainstream black that is both clean and articulate." That's a big deal, man. He thought that that was a compliment. The first mainstream black to be clean and articulate. So what are the rest of us, filthy and mumbling? I mean, if we go back a little ways, was Frederick Douglass clean and articulate? Was Martin Luther King clean and articulate and mainstream? You're telling me that you really believe that Barack Obama was the first black man in this country to be clean and articulate, and he thought that was a compliment? If that's a compliment, and he really thought that that was a compliment, and he said that in public, imagine what he says in private to his segregationist friends. If he thinks that that's a compliment, and he says that in public, that he's the first one to be clean and articulate, that has to be the most racist statement a presidential candidate has ever made in history. And as far as I'm concerned, that disqualifies him from ever getting my vote, and should disqualify him from getting any black people of conscience's vote. This guy is a horrible guy. That's when he could actually think he said that. So, you know, if I wanted to bash him, that's I can bash him with his own words. I don't have to make up anything else. And as far as what's going on now, the DNC and the Republican convention, as far as I'm concerned, that's just circus. And it seems pretty obvious that Trump is the better P.T. Barnum than Joe Biden. But I don't care who the president is. We had this conversation when Trump first got elected, and I said then, all I care about is that he doesn't start nuclear war. That is basically my only issue as far as presidential candidates. I don't vote for them, but if I was going to vote for one, my single issue is, if you want my vote, I want you to make me believe that you will stop going around the world murdering people. That's all I care about. You can make any legislations you want. Stop murdering people all around the world. And I'm not someone that places more value on American lives than any other. As far as I'm concerned, Chinese lives, just as valuable. Israeli lives, African lives, Yugoslavian lives. American lives aren't any more valuable to me than anyone else's. are all the same, and I want a president that will stop going around the world murdering people. And Joe Biden is not that person.
All right. Well said. Thank you so much for contributing today. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Utrice. I am a retired veteran, and yesterday when I was watching all those American flags and Trump hugging them, here's a guy who the contradiction, and I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but the complete contradiction yesterday of him hugging flags and showing military people. Here's a guy that six different times he evaded the Vietnam War. And he spoke about helping children. I believe Donald Trump was also on that island with, what's his name, Jerry Epstein? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry Epstein. And back one more time for the both Democrats and Republicans. E stands for enlisted. Those are like privates, sergeants, etc. The ranks of E1 through E4 are on food stamps. So after they get off of their work day, they have to go and deliver pizzas or whatever just to make ends meet. So is this the America that both the Democrats and Republicans are going to, that these people have to do that after a long, long day? They have to hustle another thing? It's incredible. And lastly, that's about it. I actually was looking through a room the other day, Utrice, and I haven't got to listen to it yet. But I found some tapes of yourself back on WBAI many, many moons ago. I haven't got to listen to it yet. I'll call you back another time, let you know what it contained.
All right. Thank you
so much.
Thank
you. That's my opinion.
All right. we're getting some pretty strong opinions today, and that's good. The idea is it doesn't really matter whether you agree or disagree with what is being said in the form of a person's opinion. It's important that you respect it, and it's important that you, if you disagree with it, you can actually formulate a response to what you're hearing. 888-874-4888. Judy from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Utrice, and good afternoon to the audience.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you. Just wanted to mention, a few days ago, perhaps a little bit over a week, one of your frequent callers, Gwen, she pointed out that this particular election should not be viewed as business as usual. And I just sort of wanted to reiterate that point, because when I observe some of the speakers, I would say probably all of the speakers during the Republican National Convention, it seemed that they had a common theme. It was either speak to the people about their fears or quote stats that no one will really fact check or question. And it's sort of like this, you know, just as the previous caller mentioned, it's this circus, and let's see how much we can ooh and ah and wow the crowd, and then they'll like us so much that they have no choice but to, you know, jump in with our side. But aside from all of that, at the end of the day, this is, as Gwen mentioned, a very, very different election. And granted, the Democratic Party doesn't have their act together. The entire electoral system needs to be revamped. There are parts that need to be totally dismantled and changed. But I think it's important to get past this particular moment, because I really, in my opinion, another 4 years of Trump, albeit not the end of the world, but it's going to really set the country so far back that we should look to a little bit of sanity, even though obviously Joe Biden is not the ideal. However, he perhaps may be more workable, because we've seen evidence that Trump is not someone who's willing to work or to play fair. So we've seen that. So we cannot expect anything else than what he's shown us. But perhaps Biden, we can work with him. But then this is the thing. It is now incumbent upon all of us. The days where we just hire elected officials and then we just go about our 9 to 5, those days are over. Everybody who seems to think that the Democratic Party is deplorable, and it is, you know, basically have just basically given up, and they have. But now it's our time. Roll up our sleeves and get in there. Make it what it is, because we cannot criticize the Democratic the Democratic Party and not do something about it. We can no longer abdicate our role as citizens and just say, well, you know what? I have a congressman or I have an assemblyman. They'll take care of it. I voted for a senator. He should be doing his job. It's time for us to now understand very clearly whether Trump returns, whether he doesn't. We now can no longer stand on the sidelines as cheerleaders hoping that our team will win. We right now are all losers, regardless of who wins. Mm. That's my point.
All right. I mean, that last phrase got me there. We're all losers.
Absolutely. There are no winners here. It's really horrible. Because at the rate we're going with the protests, I don't think it's going to be a shock to anyone if Trump loses, if he does not relinquish that position. That's not going to shock many people, because it seems like that's what it's going to come down to. And if he wins, I won't be surprised if the other side now takes to the streets. We're living in a totally different era. So we have work to do. We can no longer hide in our homes. And, you know, not everybody's a protester, not everybody's a speaker, not everybody is a politician, but we all, within our capacities, we have a role to play now in the functioning of this so-called democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Thank you so much for contributing today. I appreciate
your call.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trisha, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
All right. Trisha, do you still check your emails?
Yeah.
Okay, I sent you an email in regards to something. I don't know if you got it or not, but...
Oh, yes, I think I did, about election.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay, all right. What I wanted to talk about are Free My Mind, everybody, Utrice, and everybody in the Lead Stories audience, hopefully have a prosperous and productive weekend and safe weekend.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, I had a conversation with a guy who I personally know in regards to this upcoming election. And this seems like this is the attitude of, you know, many in my circle who basically kind of believes that, you know, what difference does it make if I vote for Trump or Biden? Because I know many people, especially around here, are very dissatisfied with the Democrats, and rightfully so. I mean, they have not told us anything outside of just don't vote for Trump because he's a bad man. Well, that's not going to cut it for us, you know, as at least politically astute people, you know. But at the same time, when you look at a guy like Trump and what he has done in the last 3 years to this country, and I've been kind of turning the corner in regards to should I put a vote against Trump by voting for Joe Biden? And it's been really conflicting me. And Utrice, your programs have been very, you know, hitting at me on this because of the fact that when you were talking about how Trump has taken over the Republican Party, and
yeah,
it's easy to ignore the Republicans in regards to back in the day where you know, they didn't really speak to, you know, black people that much. But now you're seeing that they're speaking against black people, even though they showcase, you know, they have showcased a couple of black folks in the convention. But it was more of pandering to me than anything. But I just feel like I'm at the point now where I'm thinking about possibly voting for Joe Biden because of the fact that and don't get me wrong, there's both of them, and I think a caller a couple of minutes ago had just pointed out the fact of Joe Biden's racist remarks and racist actions against, you know, black people, because I mean you're basically, you know, trying to decide which one is less racist, which, you know, I don't like to vote on at all. But I mean, we're looking at literally the rise of a dictator. And so, you know, my thing is that which one is worse? You know, a racist who just wants to segregate, you know, people, or a racist who basically wants to take over the world? And I'm conflicted, Yatrice. I'm at this point now where I'm like, well, God, do I really vote for Joe Biden so Donald Trump doesn't win? And me personally, looking at the whole thing, and I still think that Donald Trump is the heavy favorite in this election.
Yes,
I still think he's the heavy favorite in this election. I still think so, and I'm calling, you know, I have family members outside of this country, and I'm basically calling them, like, you know, I might be making plans to move to your country in the next couple of years.
Oh my God, it's that bad, huh?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm like, you know, when you expose yourself to the truth more and more, you realize how bad it is, and then you start to wonder, wow, should I stay and fight this and help my family survive, or should I keep my family safe? Because I really don't think we're going to be safe with three more years of Donald Trump. I mean, we're already in the line of fire as it is, but I mean, this guy is something else. I mean, I was just listening to him last night, and it was basically horrifying.
You know, that is his plan. His plan is to terrorize people. Whoever is left would be his friends, and whoever is terrorized will pack up and leave. That's part of the plan.
Well, yeah, and you know, with the situation that happened in Kenosha with the young terrorist boy who drove from Antioch, Illinois to Kenosha and gunned down protesters without being arrested at the time, you have many people growing up in this administration who feel emboldened to just go out there and do some sort of vigilante type of protection. And I mean, the guy doesn't even live in Kenosha. And he just went up there. His mother drove him to the place where he was able to kill two protesters with an AR-15. How does a 17-year-old boy get an AR-15?
Well, could you answer at least that question for us? What what was the interesting thing about this report that we should, if the shoe were on another foot, another person's foot, we would have known instantly? What took so long for them to add some more flesh on the bones of the story?
Well, obviously, he's a young white white child.
That's the answer right there. He's a young white man. And nobody wanted to say that at the beginning. So they gravitated to the deed that he allegedly had done, which is killing two people. But they left it to the public's imagination to decide, is this a black kid or is this a white kid?
Mm-hmm.
They did not describe the killer at all. We're only just finding out belatedly that this was a young white man. But they never said it before.
And Trish, you should have heard their local reports here in Chicago. They called him a juvenile. He was bullied in school, and all kind of excuses for this young man. And never did they emphasize on him or ask the question, why does a 17-year-old have an AR-15? And why did his mother drive him from Antioch to Kenosha, which is about 30 minutes away from each other? Where is his mother at? Why aren't they charging her for an accessory?
Wow. But I found it very interesting that they never did reveal, until they felt, I guess, that they couldn't avoid it, the race of the young man who did the killings. They just believed that everybody would surmise it, well, it's a black guy. But then I think they thought the better of it, because that, too, did not fit the pattern. Black guys don't walk around with AR-15s.
Yeah, and he tried to surrender to police, and they didn't even take him in at the time because they saw him shoot those two protesters, and the police were right there. I mean, you can't deny it. It's all on video. I mean, it's all on the Internet. It's all on social media. And I hate watching stuff like that because it just does something to my soul, but it's like, you know, this is what social media has come to right now. You know, we see black men getting shot down in the streets by cops, and now we're seeing, you know, young white men, you know, shooting all kind of people, and it's just like I said, as I stated earlier, the world right now is kind of terrifying right now.
Yes, it is. It is. Thanks a lot, Henry, for calling in and contributing today. Right. You'll hear from me soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Martine from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Great. So I'm well. I'm doing as well as I can do. So I just wanted to call with some information, because I know you had always asked about, like, once Bernie Sanders bowed out of the race, what's going on with the Progressive Party. Well, I just wanted your listeners to know that there is going to be a digital convention being held on August 30th, this weekend. It's going to be broadcast on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. It's called the People's Convention, and it's about forming a People's Party, so a third party, you know, with progressive values. Your listeners can go to peoplesparty.org to sign up for the convention. There's an app to download. We'll be voting on different issues, different organizations that we want to align ourselves with. And again, that's August 30th. It's at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific. And I just wanted your listeners to know about that.
Okay. Personally, what do you feel about that? You know, we've seen Bernie quite a few times, and then he quit.
Yeah, and Bernie Sanders will not be there. It's really people that, you know, worked for Bernie, worked for his campaign, supported him. Cornel Wells will be there, Nina Turner, Jimmy Dore. So it's basically like everyone else still wants to keep the Progressive Party together.
Okay.
I don't feel now that Bernie has gone, the Progressive Party is over.
It's not so much. I did a program on that. It's not so much that Bernie has gone. It's how he left.
and he has some explaining to do, it seems to me.
I think he's kind of accepted that he has made his decision. I mean, at this point, you know, he couldn't possibly run again. And it's time for the rest of us to step up and carry the torch. And
I agree with that. But it still does not relieve him of the burden of apology. He did a very bad thing the way he just took off and just did not leave the party. Everybody would understand if he comes up with a reasonable explanation, but he just quit. And he quit badly. And he quit in the middle of a fight. And he quit without any directions or directives. He just walked away. I guess he just was fed up with whatever was happening. But it was not the best way to quit a party.
At the end of the day, there's a difference between what people do and what they should do. You know, I appreciate him a lot of credit.
I give him a lot of credit, too. However, it still is a bad thing because it interrupted what could and should have been a smoother flow. And he did have, it seems to me, an obligation to make the transition a lot smoother. Not that he shouldn't have quit. I mean, he's entitled to make his decision one way or the other. But to just abruptly leave and the party is in a lurch and, you know, you don't show up to even say, well, this is where I left things on this front and this is where I left things on that front. Nothing like that. So he gets bad marks from me for that. That was not a good thing to do.
I know. I have listened to your, I've listened to all of that. And I agree, but like I said, I just give him a lot of credit because, you know, no other senator had the courage to do it at all, you know.
And yeah, but it wasn't.
I think it takes a lot of courage to be the first one to say, no, you know what, this is not right, and I'm not going to go along with the status quo. He put up as good a fight as he could.
All that is fine, but he did a bad thing, and he still has to explain it. It seems to me he has some. What did Ricky call it? Splaining to do. He has some splaining to do. Thanks for calling in and contributing today.
Thank you, David
from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello.
I've been looking at this whole thing. And I've come to some conclusions, and I have some opinions about what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is the reality that we're living in a situation in the United States of America where we're claiming that we have this thing called democracy, but what is going on, to me, is nothing like any kind of democracy. What we have is a situation where I've mentioned before, we have a uniparty broken up into two divisions, and everything is done by those people at the top, the ruling group, to make sure that it just stays that way. We don't have parties, and that can have different opinions and things that they offer to the people. We have the one party with its two divisions. And what this means is that the whole so-called election process or so-called democratic process breaks down into a number of things. It breaks down, number one, and to applying or directing people and approaching them according to what you feel their prejudices are, to basic white supremacy racism, to people's fears, to people's ability to be divided and ruled, and people's ignorance, and the next one would be the lies. So the so-called campaign for both groups of the Uniparty is around those things that I just mentioned. And the other thing is it never talks about, in any uncomplimentary way, about the ruling class, things like campaign contributions or lack of any viable parties at all. There are no viable parties other than the Uniparty, two divisions, and people have accepted this like this is just normal to have a so-called two-party system that's really a one-party with two divisions. So that's the way I see it. That's my opinion. And I think this is very sad because we need to stop going around and pretending that this is democratic or we have a democratic election or campaign. So the things that I've mentioned that Trump and Biden talk about have nothing to do with various things that could be offered to the people for the people's benefit. They don't have to talk about that. They're just sail into those things that I mentioned about fear and ignorance and lies and whatnot, and that's what I see is going on today.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, David. Are you on this weekend? David, I should let people know.
Yes, my program is Brother David from Brooklyn Speaks. I'm on. I have a new post. And every week or so, I put on a new post on YouTube. Brother David from Brooklyn Speaks. And my book is Playing the Game, for those who want to read the book. Okay.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for calling in
today.
Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, Utrice, and greetings to your audience. Peaceful greetings.
Thank you. Thank you. To
yes,
you too.
Ma'am. Listen, I got a confession to make. I'll be brief. I watched a portion of the Democratic National Convention being televised, and I watched a portion of the Republican National Convention being televised. The portion of the Democratic National Convention that I saw was one where there was this man who looked to be a black man. His name was Billy Porter, I've since learned, and I turned on and he was wearing what looked like a dress and pants. And he was dancing around the floor and singing while this white guy was playing the guitar. And this was entertainment for the Democratic National Convention. A black man in wearing what looked to be pretty much like a dress. It could have went for a dress. Dancing
might have been
while the white man played the music.
It might have been a tunic.
Okay. Well, tunic. All right. Well, any event, I saw that, and it struck me as how what a great metaphor, whatever, you know, how the Democratic Party has black people singing and dancing to their music, and having on, I'll say for lack of a better phrase, confused clothing. The man looked like he was wearing a dress to me. That's all I could say. Okay, maybe it was a tunic. But anyway.
Yeah, some of these West African clothing is very loose. It would look like a dress, but it's really a tunic or a buba.
All right, then. Okay.
That was the most unwilling, all right, then, I ever got.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm learning something. I learned about a buba, a tunic. But the thing is, now, after watching parts of the Republican convention last night, and here comes my confession, I enjoyed that Italian tenor much more than I did that black man wearing the buba tunic, dancing and singing while a white man played the guitar. Now, there was a this guy, his name was Christopher somebody. He had a great voice. I'm not necessarily an opera fan, but I thought he sounded very nice. Although when he broke out in song, I was a little reminded of a scene from The Godfather 2, from that film, and just a much better, well, my confession is I enjoyed that better. I just enjoyed that part of that entertainment part of that convention better than I did the black guy dancing in the dress.
You just can't get over this. You just can't get over this dress thing.
Well, it's a metaphor because look, I mean, the Democratic Party pimps black folks, has pimped black folks, continues to pimp black folks. Some black folks get a few crumbs from the table, but the majority of black folks don't get nothing. Changes, like in as I speak right now in Washington, 50-something years, people still marching about the same thing. I remember one time being in Detroit, and I was participating in one of those marches, and all of a sudden it hit me: no, screw this, I'm done marching. I'm done marching. I mean, 63 years. I mean, it's like, I don't know, is it trauma repetition or something? I mean, well, what I did watch a piece of Martin Luther King III speak today, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, in essence, he said, look, if you're looking for a leader, look in the mirror. Okay? I like that idea. If you're looking for a leader, look in the mirror. And I'm also reminded of what Malcolm X said about the so-called farce on Washington in 1963, and how the agenda was changed, and how it lacked a bunch of spirit and focus that it went in there having originally. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll get off, excuse me, I'm also reminded of what Malcolm X said about the media, and I'm paraphrasing here, about how the media will have you, you know, supporting people who hate you and hating those who support you. And I saw this today in reference to that shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that young fella who's been charged, Kayla Ritterhouse. Well, forgive me, I'm mispronouncing his name. But there's much more to that story than what there's much more to that story. According to some of the footage I saw, it looks like the boy was attacked. Now, mind you, there is a real question. Why would a 17-year-old boy have a young man have a weapon of that sort, and what was he doing? Well, according to some news reports, he worked in the city, and the person he shot was a white guy. He shot two people, or maybe more than two people, but he was attacked too. I'm not justifying what he did, but there's much more to that story, and I hate being manipulated by and being deliberately confused by this media. But, you know, thanks to shows like yours and whatever, I'm learning media literacy. And one last thing, Utrice. When it comes to this Trump being the head of the Republican Party, my question to you is, isn't it the case or something, isn't it true that when for example, when Barack Obama was done with his term, didn't he automatically become the head of the Democratic Party? I mean, isn't that how they do it? These parties, isn't that how their procedure?
No, I don't
that
think
what,
so.
What happens automatically? He's the automatic head of the Republican Party because he's, I guess, the highest ranking official in the Republican Party. I guess, I don't know. Isn't that how that stuff works though?
No, the parties have their own organizational structure, irrespective of who is president at the time. And they run the party as a separate institution. Of course,
it is understandable that a president or a former president would have some kind of affiliation with the party, but not own it. You do not own the party. The party is its own entity. So this was completely out of the playbook. It's not something that one expects a president to just take over the party. And worse, that the people who were running the party would just get out of his way and let him do it. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. I feel it necessary to say, just for the record, I'm not what they call so-called homophobic, whatever. It did bother me seeing the dude with the dress, the tunic, dancing while the white man played the music for the Democratic National Convention. Thank you. I'll work with myself on that. I got other things to do anyway.
Well, actually, you should look into that because it is typical, and especially in West Africa, where people wear loose clothing, that sometimes you may think it looks like a dress, but it isn't a dress. Not at all. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing, and also bringing some very important points to the fore for us to consider. It's the weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring good things to your life, add great dimension to your life, and we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.